Good morning. Today is Thursday, May the 19th, 2016. It's 9 a.m. Welcome to the Josephine County Board of Commissioners, 9 a.m. County Administration Workshop. First on the agenda is the Sheriff's Office, Item 1A, the Second Amendment to the Contract for Professional Services between ConMed and Josephine County.
Yes, ConMed, and thank you, Commissioner. ConMed and CareSource Solutions are the same thing. They're our health care provider within our jail. Mm-hmm. And in negotiations with them, we've come to an agreement during where we had two. Their staff are strapped pretty hard for the 130 they have in there. For the fiscal year 16-17, we budgeted for helping them chip in for another full-time person. So then we'll end up with three as opposed to what was essentially two, or one and a part-time, basically. So
I think that was one of the number one things that we heard out of our tour was that, poor Bell and the medical area. Seems like when people, most everybody in there has some element of
health issue,
medication they're on, or some sort of an issue, that it takes a tremendous amount of time revisiting people to make sure that everything they're medicated. And it might be heightened once people who have been without medical care find themselves in the county's care and we're mandated to provide them medical attention, you know.
So it's also heightened sometimes by the attitudes that are demonstrated in how, you know, I lived perfectly fine with this, whatever it was, but now I'm sticking to you.
To a certain extent. So yeah. they were very strapped, and it was they've actually, you know, they volunteered to add as well. So that was part of the negotiations with them, is they're chipping in to boost their staff with us. So it's all the burden is not on us. It's actually, ConMed is actually chipping in half, basically, to get an extra person, because they, too, realize the need.
If the person is full-time?
Yes.
So this dollar amount would not cover anybody full-time.
No.
So they're doing that, yeah.
Yeah, they're throwing in the rest of that, which is basically the other half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. No problem.
Yeah.
And this is an amendment to a contract increase, so we'll put this on the admin for next Wednesday. You don't need to be there.
It should be under consent. It's just an amendment to it.
Even though it's more money?
Contract. I still think it should be under consent. It's an amendment to
an existing contract, but it's increasing the dollar amount.
Yeah.
So we'll leave it on admin.
Yeah, and we'll talk to
him. I will.
Okay.
The sheriff isn't here, obviously, anymore, but for means of efficiency of his time, I don't personally need him to come in and advocate for things of amendments to contracts or something like that. As long as the liaison is made aware before the meeting and his representative is here, that's sufficient for me.
I was not aware until I saw it.
Yes.
Yeah, but I was not aware until I saw it on the agenda. I had not
talked
to him.
So if you're not aware, then he needs to be here. But
right.
If you are made aware and, you know, okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy with
that. Yeah. That would have been the case.
Okay.
Okay, legal counsel is here, and you're all on board. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Who do we have with us for the record?
Don Moss.
M-O-S-S?
Yes. Good morning.
Okay, good morning.
From Republic Services.
Yes. All right, Republic Services. Residential curbside.
Which is the first item on the agenda.
Yes.
And so, about 6 months ago, I guess, SOS, Southern Oregon Sanitation, got a curbside recycling program initiated, which of course requires county action. And now the Republic Services, the company Republic Services, has approached the county about setting up a comparable curbside residential recycling program. And so we've done some interactions thus far at the staff level. It's gotten now to where we need to kind of bring the board up to speed on what the proposal would be from Republic, and if you should so desire, then we will continue to process documentation for you ultimately to make a decision on this matter.
I have met with some of the Republic representatives, but have you?
Yeah, we were all here.
We all have. So I think we can
Okay.
I think we all understand then the issue, because I didn't know if you had met with them.
It was in a general discussion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we had a general discussion about it, and I had also met with them, so we understand what the situation is, and I have no objection whatsoever. So.
And I appreciate the material that you gave, the comparisons and all that other kind of stuff that answered a lot of concerns and or questions that might have developed too. So, yeah.
Thank you.
So do you have anything that you wish to say or add?
I don't.
Okay.
Well, I think the time to do that would be at the weekly business session when we make this decision. I thought we had SOS come and provide
us
a short PowerPoint.
Yes, we did.
Already prepared. That might be really helpful and comparable for, obviously there's no opportunity for constituents, but here, you know, on one side of the river you're getting this, on the other side of the river you're getting something different. This will make this consistent. And years since they've had any adjustment, and this is an additional service. So I think it makes sense to have that.
So could you be there next Wednesday?
We will.
Okay.
Thank you.
9 o'clock.
I don't have anything ready for next Wednesday.
Okay.
We need to do the paperwork.
Sure.
And we're working with Dawn and
Julie Jensen.
Okay. So can it be ready next Wednesday?
I think probably not.
We didn't know.
That's the problem. Is there shouldn't.
We didn't know about that.
Okay,
sorry.
I thought we needed to get from you that was approved. Go forth and do the paperwork.
Now
okay.
We have that.
Now we're doing it.
Okay, so you can't have it ready by Wednesday next week? No.
That would be an optimistic target date.
You should have a timeline to work back from of implementation of SOSs, which was
July 1st.
So we can achieve that?
Maybe. We could potentially achieve that. It would depend on, you know, once we're given the go ahead, then we order carts. Luckily, carts manufacturing is doing pretty well right now, so about 2 to 3 weeks out. So we could potentially achieve our goal of matching SOS's delivery date.
Okay.
Okay.
You're looking for a rate increase as of July 1st?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That's what I was.
So if you guys could work together to work back to
that
goal,
yes.
That would be great to figure out how.
Okay. So then when you have that ready, you can bring it back in.
Yeah,
we'll schedule it.
We've done
schedule
admin,
it.
So, okay.
Yeah, when you have that ready, we'll just schedule it. So right now,
we
have to get some paperwork finished, and because we are willing to move it forward, we just need to have them get that together, and then we will just schedule it on a weekly business session.
We won't have to go back to admin?
No.
Okay.
Not necessary. Not necessary. Okay?
Got it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We'll handle it that way. All right. Thank you so much.
Good to see you.
Item 2B, order number 2016, a matter of sale of county land remaining unsold. Is this the one that we decided to remove from the schedule?
That's correct.
Because I don't have an address on this. I didn't look to see the address. So does this need to be tabled?
No.
No, we're just removing it.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Because it's going to the auction. All right.
Yes, it is.
All right. 2C, the sheriff's sale on county road properties and bidding rules.
Thank you. Now, this pertains to the memorandum that I sent out last week based on questions from Commissioner Hare and the board about whether county employees or under what circumstances county employees would be bidding on the upcoming property auction. And the recommendation in that memorandum today is that the board articulate a policy, if you're so inclined, that would expect or require county employees to contact the property manager 48 hours, at least 48 hours in advance of the auction if they know at that point that they're planning to bid on the property. And that would allow us to process the circumstance that the county employee is in against what the law requires, because certain employees who have a certain level of active participation are not going to be allowed statutorily or, you know, under the ethics laws even to bid and purchase county property. It is unfortunately largely a case-by-case basis. We have to figure out what level of involvement the employee had, and the only way we can come up with that is if they contact us in advance and we just analyze the situation. So
the answer is no, unless they do this.
The answer is no, unless they contact the property manager at least 48 hours in advance.
Right.
I'll just put this in. When I used to handle these sales for the federal government, as I've talked to Mike, but not on this particular topic, is that anybody that was in a managerial position, managerial or supervisory, could not, regardless of where they were in a department.
Not a bad policy.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, but typical, you know, hourly employees that were not in a supervisory or management position because they had no authority and could not exert any authority could purchase, but anyone else could not.
Well, I don't know. Have it written out, stipulated, everybody knows.
Right. So I'm just throwing that out there as a suggestion, that because we don't want the perception that somebody that's in management or supervisory position that may have had some input on that property at some point in time, whether it be responding to a complaint or anything to do with it. But just a suggestion when you're looking at that. I don't know if you've come up with your...
I think we'll confine ourselves to the statute.
Yeah.
And it won't be limited to just managerial staff, because we have had managers, elected officials, but there's also been, you know, non-managerial staff that's provided stuff. The thing is they're not providing any decision-making. So the decisions are solely that of the board. So it obviously isn't limited to that, just the decision-making.
Right.
The input provided to the process.
Mm-hmm. So those are things to consider. Well, the people that are going out and inspecting the property who are not managerial or supervisory, they may as well be excluded as two.
You know,
because they have knowledge that someone else may not have.
Health, Brad, exactly. I think that's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. So.
But I would just as soon stick to the statute. So.
Great.
Okay.
I agree.
So when you set up the rules.
That's, okay.
Yeah.
Those are the rules of the auction.
That's the rules of the auction.
Okay.
Stick to the statute.
And going forward, we'll evolve that. We can come up with something more articulate, I guess, for future sales. And seeing how that one plays out. But for
it was fairly limited. We know exactly who was involved in all of these processes. So, you know, you will be able to determine if you need any help about, well, did you ever have, I wouldn't mind, you know, because somebody who may not have been at our meeting was still consulted. So feel free.
Thank you. Yeah.
I think mm-hmm.
we'll draw upon that
point
resource.
Of contact for all of this.
Right.
Good
idea.
You know,
yep.
So.
Good plan.
Anything else that you want to ask?
This has also been included in the auction rules that is posted online on the county website.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Good. Okay. All right.
I don't know if it would behoove us to, as this is our first auction, would it be necessary just to send out a countywide? It'd be a really quick little verb.
Sure.
You know, it could be an advertising thing as well as just to understand the rules.
I think it would be a good idea that they all know the sale's coming up and what properties it'll be. However, you, as an employee, you will not be able to bid, but you may know of other parties, you know, who are neighbors or, you know, adjoining the property.
If you are an employee and you're interested in bidding, you have to contact property management.
Right.
I wouldn't say that they aren't.
Mm-hmm.
The rule is you got to contact them.
Mm-hmm.
You guys decide.
Yeah. Because they may be the neighbor to one of them. And
could be.
Yes,
you know.
or a relative,
and they would be the only, and they would be the only bidder.
And you don't know.
It's a piece.
I know.
One of those pies.
I think that's a good way to do it. Okay.
All right.
That's what we'll do. Carry what email.
All right. Very good. Anything else on the auction bidding rules? All right.
That covers it.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Moving on to department reports. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Legal. We have the assessor's office.
I don't know where I heard that county employees could bid on it, but I guess they kind of can. It's just not involved. So I didn't read that or was told that paragraph.
Assessor's office. And you have resolution number 2016 something in the matter of amending the assessment and taxation grant for you this morning.
Good. We have a little bit of a housekeeping issue. So, as you know, every spring we apply for our CAFA grant. This year, the Department of Revenue has undergone quite a bit of reorganization as well as software changes. So there's been a lot of new folks and a lot of new ways of doing things this year. And so through this process, unfortunately, one of the things that came up was that it looks like our grant's going to be about $10,000 less than we had thought. And so just the rules that go with that require us to amend the existing grant before June 1st. And so I'm just here asking you to approve the amended grant, and then you'll have to log in again digitally and sign before June 1st. So I know you're looking forward to that.
Okay, just so you help me with that one.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, sure.
Well, Chris, I just really appreciate that we actually are trying to find every means of revenue coming from this tavern. It's really important that we not leave anything on the table. I know that we're a net receiver right now. Klamath County, they pay more into the system than they receive. And it's just every dollar that we don't have to spend to make up, you know, the assessor's office is one available for the criminal justice system. So that's, I wouldn't say we've gotten away with it. The rules have been to that qualified, and now that the interpretation is that they don't.
And that's exactly what happened. Is, you know, I talked to the head of the property tax division a year ago. Was given the green light. That
yes.
was allowed, and new folks are there. He's no longer there, so it's kind of a whole new ball of wax. And there was a couple other smaller minor amendments that were made where they had made mistakes and said, yeah, no, that's okay to do. Included it, and now they said after the fact, I told you the wrong thing, we got to change some stuff. So there was a lot of things
that's important.
And a lot of counties are amending this year. We're not the only one, but usually you might have one or two a year. I believe there's at least 8 or 10 this year who are doing it. It's just part of the process. So we're not special in any way.
Okay.
So. Is this going to impact your budget in a way that can't be accounted for?
No, good question. So the $10,000 is spread across four departments: our assessor's office, tax office, the IT department, who assists with the GIS and the technology part of things, and then the clerk's office. So it's going to affect our budget about $5,000. So Arthur's already aware of it and has made some adjustments. So.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you
very much.
Okay.
They get all the stuff, and you realize that you're going to hit the gas.
Yeah.
Going to hit you.
Yeah, well, it's...
Oh, shoot.
Well, let me know when I have to do that.
With I will. CAPA is one of those things that we're always kind of unsure. Yeah. If they have a requirement that's earlier than everything
earlier
else.
Than the budget. Mm-hmm.
And so they're kind of trying to figure stuff out without everything being ironed out.
Yeah, I'm always feeling that sense of uncertainty, you know, every March because they need numbers and Arthur needs the numbers and we're trying to keep it all going until we get into May. So anyway.
Well, I think it's important to remember that budgets are estimates of what we, they're not line item. People want line item budgets. They're estimates anyway, you know, so we don't really know. Who can forecast? You know, how much groceries they're going to buy in a year if they were doing a household budget. They don't know.
Right.
Stuff comes up, so medical bills or anything else.
That's the problem with the legislature for a two-year budget, and that's why they put in the annual budget, and it's ended up not being that helpful, but you would have thought it would. That was the purpose, but you can't forecast that far out, even 6 months.
Well, thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you. Okay.
So will this be on the consent calendar?
We can, it's an amendment to that CAFA that we've already submitted, so,
You've already done all the work. So.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't on the show.
Almost twice.
Yeah, thank you. You got that, didn't you? Okay, thank you so much. 3B, public health. This is another amendment to a lease agreement for office space. The Public Health and Healthcare Coalition. This is the HCSO. You're here this morning. Good.
I am. I got back late last night. This is amendment number 3 to lease office space to two people from Healthcare Coalition of Southern Oregon. Do you have any questions?
No.
Great thing.
Yes,
we can put that one on.
We're working together and seeing it to our advantage in one sense.
Exactly right.
This is the third year we've been doing this.
It is.
Do you anticipate this being a long-term thing? Should we put in a longer contract or is it year to year? Just great.
Because it's only a five-year grant.
Okay.
The HCSO contract is a five-year grant. So I feel comfortable with year to year. But I am going to, in my planning for the All Care potential move, consider them still as a tenant as we are going to be a tenant. So keeping our same relationships with
So they're incorporated in the start when you're going to ask.
Exactly right.
Okay, perfect.
And by my update to you next Thursday, hopefully will include more information about that potential move.
Mm-hmm.
I provided Commissioner Walker with the timeline that we're looking at.
Okay.
Almost getting exciting.
Don't get too excited. It's still a lot of work.
I mean, yeah, but it's getting, this is actually going to work.
It might work.
Yeah.
We'll see how it pencils out in the math.
Yeah. Well, it would be really, I think it would be helpful all around. I think there's some real positives to it. If the math can work out, it's a great move. Because we're going to have, academic campuses, looking at a different use.
Right.
If you can co-locate with another organization that makes sense, it kills a lot of birds, in my opinion, one stone.
That's
a positive thing.
Well, and that location is easy to find,
yeah.
And it's on the bus route.
Right.
And so I think that would be a good one.
Okay. I will see you next Thursday then.
Okay, thank you. And we'll move this on the consent also. Forestry, Mr. Streeter.
Morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Streeter.
Thank you for your presentation at the Budget Committee.
Yes, thank you. Just presenting for signature 6 timber sale contracts that were sold on April 15th through a little auction. Do you have any questions?
Did the auction, did that come in like you had anticipated, or were you surprised, disappointed?
About as I expected.
Okay.
Prices in terms of dollars per thousand kind of dependent on the quality of each individual timber sale. I think on average we averaged around $275 or $285 per thousand.
That's not bad. It's not too bad.
So not bad.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Decent markets, so that always helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are we struggling with the pine market that Rough and Ready is no longer in business? That's a component of our Douglas Jackson and Josephine County, Klamath County, have some pine in their mix. And without them as the predominant pine purchaser, is that impacting our?
It will have an impact. I hope and expect that it won't be a huge impact. Basically, I think it'll have an impact in terms of quality pine that we have on the lands. The smaller veneer type pine, the value didn't matter whether it went to veneer or to boards.
So they're putting it into plywood.
Correct. The higher grade pine, you're basically going to see veneer prices to lower on it because they're either going to have to internalize it or truck it now to SPI down in Northern California, or Interfor in Central Oregon. So the trucking on that will kind of eat up the value. In the past, I believe our timber sales have kind of set a minimum on no-bid species. They've kept that artificially high, I believe, in appraising a species to what its true value is, because all you're doing is subsidizing the value of it with the Doug fir at the end of the day. They'll bid less for the Douglas fir if they have to overpay for the pine. So every timber sale that I do an appraisal on every species. It costs the same to log it, regardless of the species. And it has a value delivered to the mill, so I back into that to come up with a stumpage value, minimum stumpage value on the contract. If I'm high or low, the purchaser takes that into account.
Sure.
But I like to keep it as realistic as possible. Mm.
I had a question. Actually, it was relating to the budget presentation. Unexpected revenues in your budget, and I've asked this before, but I think it's good to clarify. I didn't ask it over there, but that the revenues projected are incorporating previous year sales percentages that haven't come in yet or have, even though we have 3-year contracts, 50% up front. Sometimes it's 100% in the first year because they harvest it in the first year, and so they're paying for it longer.
Right.
But if they don't, if they're waiting and they're doing 50, 25, and 25, do you know, or are you budgeting for that 25, or is that more?
So what I did this year, my first time going through this process, was I knew that because I set the contracts up.
Does that make sense? Because you've got these 3-year contracts that are moving through the deal. If you're,
And they have scheduled payments associated with them. In the past, they've been 25% due in the first year at signing the contract, 25% in the second year and the 50% due in the third year, unless the purchaser decided to harvest that timber sale, then it was paid up front in advance of the harvesting. So even though it's a three-year contract with spread out payments, if the purchaser decided to log that sale in the first year, then they would have to pay for the whole thing in the first year, so the total sale value would come in the first year. What I did this year was I knew that 50% of the value had to be paid in this fiscal year by the end of June. So that's all that I budgeted for income for this year.
Okay.
In the budget. So now it is possible that we will get more than that, but that's the minimum that will come in because it's required under the contracts.
So you basically switched it around, the 50% up front instead of at the end.
Yes, and that was indicated by my predecessor that that's what was budgeted for this fiscal year, primarily because there was no sales the year before. That put a little bit of an undue pressure on purchasers. You know, obviously they're out a bunch of cash up front, whether they're deciding to log that sale this year or not. Something we probably should avoid doing. It just puts a little more risk onto them. And now that we've got the sale program going forward, next year I'll do the 25, 25, 50 again.
Okay.
Is my plan going forward.
So this is about $1.5 million, and so what you've collected is half of that for this year before the end of the fiscal year?
Correct.
And then the other half, the other $750,000, whatever, could come in next year or the following year, but sometime over the next year.
Yeah, guaranteed to get another 25% of that total sale value next year
once
the purchaser decides to harvest.
Mm-hmm. Then early.
Probably. And they could go in and only harvest 50% of the volume. Mm-hmm. You know, it's at their discretion, and that's actually something that purchasers really value, is because they've got this need into their facilities and they can use stumpage sales to kind of fill in holes in deliveries that mm-hmm. they might see in the open market or other timber suppliers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it would be interesting for you and I to sit down with Arthur and figuring out a program that can account for, you know, these sales in the past, the ones you just did. You know, a spreadsheet very easily could equate, you know, expected revenues. At the end of the day, all of these are cruised estimates of the volume. And so you having that 50% due at the end, it may not be 50%. It could be 65%. It could be 35%. If you've overestimated, we're pretty conservative in our volume estimates.
Yeah, we had some issues over the last year, I know, where there was some issues with internal cruising where they ended up having to refund some funds at mm-hmm. the end of the sale. It's certainly not our intention.
Yes.
Our intentions are to be on target
right.
with the crews, or a little conservative, so yeah. that if there's an overrun, the county generates revenues from that overrun,
rather
than not yeah. having to write checks out to refund people.
Yep, I completely agree. The other one is I think when we list this, the Wolf Creek Park sale, and I talked about it, I think, at the budget meeting, it's unfortunate that we labeled it as Wolf Creek Park sale, because it really, it's not even on the right side of the creek to be part of the park, and then there's a significant buffer between the park and the proposed timber sale. So it might be advantageous just in the wording of the listing of the timber sale to say not in the park, or some language that clarifies that this is not, we're not harvesting timber in Wolf Creek Park. Although we almost need to. There's a thinning.
There's some thinning that needs to take place in there.
Needs to be done in the Wolf Creek Park that I know Sarah's aware of, and she's working on it, just to open up some light. It's like Sherwood Forest in there. It's dark, and even in the summertime. And so
the canopy is pretty thick.
Yeah. But that's a later separate project, and I think that would be helpful for us to go forward at some point, to just have a footnote or something to that effect.
Well, what would be nice is if she could have that information, you know, when somebody's out of heading.
Yeah, unfortunately, with that, the sale advertisement went out
yeah.
with those timber sale names on them, and at that point it was too late to mm-hmm. reel it back in and change the name of the sale. But
well, we won't have this problem, obviously, because we won't be doing another sale We don't have any other property like this in the county. And my proposal is after this sale to redesignate, you know, what looks like forestry as forestry and maybe do a lot line adjustment. But that could be, it doesn't matter if that's 10 years down the road because we won't be harvesting it for another 60 years, 50 years. So get this one done. But it is also important to recognize that all the revenue minus the administrative overhead goes to the parks and specifically to Wolf Creek Park, as I understand. And they're in need of a bridge and some really, really nice capital assets that are going to be...
It's a very nice park, and it needs some improvement. I think it would be beneficial.
It could be really nice with an influx of money off of this sale. So that's really great.
And I know for a fact, after being through that piece, what is there, two or three trails that are just basically decommissioned on their own from lack of maintenance over time?
Correct.
So there could be some work done on those
trails. So the 50% that you've collected on this, the Wolf Creek Park sale, has that already gone to parks?
That was given to you for deposit. Yeah, it's my understanding that...
But it's already gone to you?
I don't know that I've seen that, but I've seen that, and I can report on that.
Yeah.
Finance knows about this.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the intent that the money go to you. Not to you, but to the park.
Just want to clarify.
Yeah. And as Commissioner Hare said, you know, another 50 years before we cut out there, I'm sure he'll be around to follow up on that. I won't be, but, but you will.
No. We will not be.
We will not be here to follow up on that.
And this, just so everybody's aware, this, I already presented one contract, the Rock Creek Hardwood sale. This is all the sales that Murphy Company had purchased, and I'm still waiting for one more contract to be returned from Swanson Group, so I'll have one more batch.
I wonder why these are a month after, and that's
we give
due
them 30
to the
purchaser's
days. Time.
Yeah, we give them 30 days to sign, return the contract with payment, and insurance, and bonding.
Great.
Okay, very good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much. Department update. Parks. Sarah.
Do these go on consent?
Oh.
These are administrative.
Yeah, this is administrative because these are all new contracts.
And no tax rolls.
I will.
Okay.
Sorry, didn't say that.
Okay.
Department update, we have our parks.
Morning, Commissioners. How are you?
Good.
Good morning.
Good. Parks always has a lot going on. I'll kind of start you off with a staffing update. George Armstrong, I'm not sure if everybody has heard the news through the grapevine, but he resigned as Senior Park Ranger. He was not able to return to work after his family medical leave. So at this time, we have promoted Josh Sabota to Senior Park Ranger, and we do have one opening for a Park Ranger right now. My decision is to hold off on hiring that position for about a month so that we can watch all of our summer aides that we right now have on through Personnel Source and kind of determine who's most eager, who's learning, who's adapt, and that way when the applications go out to the public, if one of them applies and they're going to be a good fit, we'll already know that.
Good.
So we'll be treading a little slowly there. On that note, I might have to come back and ask for a few more additions to our summer crew through Personnel Source. We were aiming for 12 this year, which was down 17 from last year. We might have to bump that up to 14 or 15 just in light of not having one more permanent position on our staff. But the people that we do have are strong workers. We've been creating an emphasis on kind of our standards with PARC, and we have a really good crew right now. We do have three openings that we're trying to fill for our summer crew, so we've actually about nine.
PARC Ranger, you said being that's a full-time employee?
Yes.
Okay, so you're just going to go without that being filled? It's not advertised right now?
It's not advertised.
Okay.
We're going to hold off for about a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be great to find a good match in one of our summer help that are on board. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they have a strong interest in parks. But we'll kind of watch everybody's skill levels and then look at all applicants when they come in, of course.
I wonder, because the process seems to take a little bit of time, if it wouldn't be advantageous with everybody else who's looking to hire. I know... the Greyback Forestry or people of that nature, this is the time they're looking for employment. And I wonder if it wouldn't be advantageous just to put it out there, even if your intent is to wait that time. I don't know. Maybe 2 weeks or something like that. You wouldn't want to miss everybody looking for, it's kind of like musical chairs, and you find yourself, well, wait a second, there's fewer people looking to the plot.
Okay, I will consider that.
Yep.
Absolutely. Our budget right now is doing good. We're certainly operating in the black, and we're looking at starting to continue to reinvest in our parks. For instance, if you walk around, almost every metal trash can that you see is rotted out on the bottom and rusty, some of them dented. So we're going to be working on, you know, purchasing new trash cans and just continuing to do small facelifts, order some new barbecues that need to be replaced, the major group ones, and just continue to do general park sprucing. So things are going in the correct direction, and our parks are looking great if you've been out and about. No major complaints, and it's, I don't have numbers. I'll have to run them for my next report, but our annual passes are up as far as sales go. For commercial passes, we've already exceeded what we did last year at this time, and for annual days passes, I'm confident that we're above over last year's numbers as well.
When you replace the trash cans, are you doing the kinds that are tamper-proof?
I am trying. The price is astronomical. The ones that I ideally would like to buy are about $900 each. And that just wouldn't be doable. I've contacted Playcraft for their pricing, and they have metal ones with lids. Those run about $350 each on pricing. The standard metal ones that we have right now with the lift-off lids, which people can put an entire 33-gallon trash bag from home, not really the best fit, but those are about $100 each.
Yeah, I don't think we want those because we end up with people bringing their trash to the parks, and then the people who are at the parks can't use it. So that's why I was wondering about the tamper-proof, not only for people bringing trash in and leaving it, but for animals that tend to
raid. I'm leaning towards the ones that are about $350 each. They have walkable lids, so it's only the flap that you can push small, like Taco Bell bags through, not necessarily the big household ones. Of course, the trade-off to that is if people are bringing household trash, we see it all the time, they just leave it to the trash can. At least then it's not filling the receptacle that's used for loose trash. But something I'm considering seriously and looking towards is long-term investments in our parks, not just another metal trash can that can, in a day, be used as a burn barrel or smashed to pieces. So.
Right.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Reformed.
Yes. An update on grants. At this time, the $75,500 for Lake Somac, that ranked 4th out of 12 for the Land and Water Conservation Fund and is being pushed through to the national level. They are recommending funding, and I feel confident we're about 98% secure on that. Federal just now does their loop through to make sure there's no red flags. But with that being secured, we also have the $10,000 that was put in for the Four-Way Foundation. They did a site visit and seemed optimistic and agreeing that it was a necessary project. So if those two are 100% yes, then we will break ground and do all the restrooms and bridges as promised for 2017.
That's great.
So moving forward there, for the $205,000 grant that's pending for White Horse Park, I'm presenting the first week of June up at the state. So I'll have kind of a better feel, and I think they get back to me within 2 or 3 weeks on if we have funding for that one.
Wow.
So it's coming up quick. Kind of an overview of Rogue River cleanup, which we just had on the 14th. There was projected rain for that day. We ended up having pretty beautiful weather, just a few drops of rain here and there. Because of that fear of the weather on the news, of course, it pushed our numbers down. We were closer to the 200 mark as far as participants instead of 300 people, but we still did pull out 130 tires, 10 yards worth of trash, 2 yards worth of metal, and the 2 yards of commingled stuff. People also kept some items such as a voting frame that they found. Computer that was.
I'll be the first to confess that I realize that throwing tires in the river is, people do that, I realize that. But the quantity
that is, every year.
And it's just, I just can't quite factor that in my little brain.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that that's much junk that's thrown in the river, like my tires and that kind of stuff. It's gracious, really, folks.
Crazy.
I know.
The thing is when I have to get rid of tires, I go to this place where I buy my tires, because I used to use tires in my garden quite a bit for potatoes. I don't anymore. But I would take them to the tire company, and since I trade there all the time, they didn't charge me hard anything because there was a recycle fee on them, a couple bucks or something. And now I think it's more than that. But I always do pay them, you know, because I know they have to pay to dispose of them. But they would take them. You know, why throw it in the river? Go where you buy your tires.
The agency should do more of a robust job of advertising. I mean, everybody's paying their tip fees. They should just have that as something they do.
Uh-huh.
That everybody's paying for it, so just at least do that. There aren't tires out
right.
there.
Yeah, it'd be great if they could even just partner with Les Schwab on a couple times a year
and
advertise
times a year,
do they?
And it's a very big deal in the Illinois Valley. I participated for the first time this year cleaning up some portions of the ranch, and it was a steady flow. They had three or four semi-trucks that they take. So, you know, this is the Rogue River of our section.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not the whole thing. It's like, how many of those tires are coming to Jackson County?
Yeah.
How many are in the Applegate? How many are in the Illinois? You know, because there aren't River Day cleanups for those rivers that I'm aware of. But that's to be commended, the 200 people that came out and participated that year.
Yeah, that's quite a turnout, actually.
Yeah, and next year I'm going to be not changing focus, but expanding focus and really working with the elementary schools and trying to get more field trips and stuff out, because the children are the ones that need to be involved so that they can understand this isn't a behavior they should be contributing to as they continue to grow. So we'll see about getting more participation that way in education. So until next year on that one. Another thing I'm working with Commissioner Hare on, we had a meeting last week, is the designated park zone. We're looking at, this will be coming to you guys, designating a few hundred yards outside of a few specific areas. Specifically, we're looking at Tom Pierce, Turtle Lane over at Fish Hatchery, and then Innis Riffle, and kind of creating a park designated zone for the entry and doing no parking zones in kind of the hazardous locations. It'll also, you know, make people come into the park. We have a walk-in policy. It's free. You can avoid your day use fee, but it's not intended for people to drive just outside the park and walk in. It's meant for people who are truly walking into the park. So it's a leaky hole in my system as far as revenue goes. So we're working on that. So we're working with Public Works, and we have designated or identified the zones, and we're looking at signage at this point.
The paramount thing for me was when I go to Tom Pierce Park, it's on a curve, it's steep, and it's just littered with cars on every side. People are biking in, they're walking in, they're walking
dangerous.
In the street.
It is dangerous down there.
It's a safety issue. The same thing at Enos Riffle. Those caravanners with the boats and the trailers and the vans and stuff, they're hauling rear end around those curves. And then there's boat trailers that are parked right on the line. Or in the road. You've got people walking alongside the road. There's nowhere to walk because of the sheerness of the cliff on either side. It's a safety issue. And I think if we can keep people, the sheriff doesn't have the time, the staff, to go out and cite people who are parking in these areas. Mm-hmm. There's no parking in these areas anyway right now. Whether it's signed or not, there really isn't room to park there safely. So having this park zone will give the park staff
a strip.
Yeah, right. It's a strip in there.
What's this big a vehicle
in
this?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to work out really, really well. I apologize to the board, to everybody, that it's taken this long for me to kind of get it going. Because I had this idea, I think, 2 years ago when I went through a park. I think it was Linn County, but it could have been Washington. Apparently that's the county that's maybe using it. But anyway, this is not an original idea. It's being done in other places, and we're just going to implement it here at a phased-in approach to see if it works.
Absolutely.
So great work.
Thank you. The only other major thing right now that I have in the works, which you guys might want to be informed about, is in regards to our citations and how we're writing them for day use fees. Our system right now with citations is we have to call the DMV system. That's $250 per call. We have to have self-service to do this. We write all the information on the citation, put it on their windshield, and then they're able to come in and pay their $30 dismissal fee and buy that $30 annual pass if they don't want to go to court over the $260 fee. I'm changing that practice slightly so that instead we will have something called... Instead, we'll have something called a notice of violation. So this information that you normally put on the citation, mainly the driver's license, vehicle description, date, time, that'll go on a notice of violation, which then tells the person they will be receiving a citation if they don't comply with the dismissal process. What that does is allow us to write the tickets downstream where we don't have cell phone service. It makes it a lot quicker. So instead of a 10 to 15 minute process, this is only going to take about 3 minutes per vehicle. It also saves us that $250 per DMV call. So it's a more efficient way for us to be having the same outcome. So we met with legal, and we've had the green light to move forward.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I had this 4 years ago when we had this issue.
Go ahead.
There's got to be an easier way to do this.
Absolutely.
Nobody else is. There's parks and places without cell service all over the state. So this is phenomenal. It's just quick, efficient, great.
So we're writing all of those policies and procedures right now. They'll be sent to legal for review, and then we'll be implementing them through our volunteers and our staff.
Good job.
Excellent.
Good.
Any questions in regards to PARC?
I have there's the Galise restroom issue that is a saga that continues that I think is really, you know, that you've been a champion of is moving it forward. I think somebody could have washed their hands, no pun intended, a long time ago and just said, this is too challenging with everything that's going on. But do you know, are you guys expecting it for this year or is it a next year project? Or?
I'm really hesitant to give a timeline.
Okay.
I can tell you it'll definitely be done in 2 years from now. But ideally, we're going to be moving forward here in about 2 or 3 months. What we're waiting on at this point is, as I was finishing my permitting with planning, they realized BLM hadn't been contacted, and I'm working on this for my staff so that we have a flowchart. I need to know who all the organizations are and who I need to contact for permits, and right now nobody has a list they can hand me of all the agencies I need to contact. So I'm dependent on leaking the information from everybody else in order to follow through. So as I thought we were on the final step of getting our building permit, we realized we had to step back and go through the State of Oregon Waterways as well as BLM Scenic. So with this red flag is a little history. Galise had removed cottonwoods. We don't know who did it. Nobody's admitting fault. They removed a bunch of vegetation without permits. And in doing so, our location is now much more viewable from the river. And because it's in that scenic easement, they're saying they can see our toilet. So at this point, I have great working relationships with the lower level guys. And Kai has been great at responding to me and trying to push this forward. It sounds like right now Alan, the field manager, is the one who has to go visit the site, do the inspection, and tell us what he is going to require for us moving forward. So that is now what I'm waiting on. It sounded like he was going to be trying to get out to site early June. So then hopefully we'll have approval mid-June, end of June, and then I will be able to move forward with getting CXT the new order date and getting the contractor on board.
I will go plant a dang tree to cover that. You've got to be kidding.
One of us from the board will make a call to Alan Bolschweiler, and then I will follow up with an email to the state director following that phone call. So we're not waiting until June.
Go ahead, guys.
We apologize for the delay. That's our responsibility. We should have come to them initially. But with new staff, both with planning and at parks, we were unaware of this. And we will do everything we have to fix it. But the alternative is that people are utilizing the facilities in the river or next to the river that we don't have a restroom, a nice facility there. So we do have the porta potty, but that's not satisfying everybody's need.
No.
So great.
Yeah.
We'll work on that.
My main argument is that our toilet is neutral brown colors, and it will surely look better than that brown D&D that's out there. So.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll
well, this is part of our
so will you take care of that?
Do you want me to call?
Yeah.
I'd be happy to call.
Since you're parks liaison, that way it's not going to be going three ways.
Yeah. So I just know that you'd reached out to Alan earlier.
Yeah, I did. I mean, if you want me to, I will. But I just
it could be better because I'm the base that's suing them right now. So you might have better luck.
And Commissioner Walker, I will forward you an email that was last sent. It involves the original scenic easement kind of rules and guidelines that was set up with the property owner of Galise, and that is what they're analyzing and looking at right now to make these determinations. So perhaps a little.
Yeah, send me some background information so that if he asks me something or says something, I will at least know.
If you don't mind, I have a great
I will do it. No, I will do it. I was just thinking I didn't want us to have a triangular thing going here, but that's fine.
Better coming to
okay.
Right now.
Yeah. More pressure would probably help the process right now.
Okay.
Getting it done before peak season.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's just too simple.
I had lunch with the state director last week in Roseburg. We were great working relationship. She and I understand each other really, really well. So I'm happy to follow up with her.
So you
probably will. I'll follow up with her and say that we reached out to the district.
All right, and I'll talk to Alan.
District.
Thank you for your support.
Absolutely. I can't commend you highly enough for the $300,000 in grant applications. Mm-hmm. I know that we have a foundation, but you are doing all of your managerial responsibility and carrying a lot of the load or responsibility from the foundation. That's kind of their role. But I think working it out, it's very commendable. There's job security. There's no shortage of things that need to be done in our parks, but it's just amazing because I don't think we've done this level in 5 years of grant applications through our parks. There has been some, but not to this degree. So just to be committed.
I appreciate that. As I find time, I'm continuing to write more. It's just a lot of juggling, as you guys do every day as well.
Yeah.
So we're getting there.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Real positive thing for the grant stuff is that after the property sale on the 16th, I'd say the day after, at least the day before, there should be some grant match revenue that'll be
perfect
in the queue, and should be really, really positive.
So, great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we can't wait.
All right.
Yep,
just check with Arthur as to when that money will be transferred to your account on the.
I will be.
Okay.
Yeah, and for Wolf Creek money specifically, I will be holding off until we can match that with grant money.
Uh-huh.
There's no reason to start spending
nope.
Right.
Infrastructure dollars.
That's what it's for.
That way. And I will be having a community meeting with Wolf Creek, not only to talk about timber sale,
yeah,
make sure
yeah
that they're understanding what's really going on there, and then find out what they want most. But it seems like the footbridge is number one, playgrounds is a close second, and the restrooms are a close third.
Great.
So that'll soak up all the money we have.
Pretty
yeah
much. Thank you.
Okay. Finance report, Arthur. Good morning. Okay, good morning.
So I've asked Sandy Novak to join us to go over the timesheets. Before she does, let me take care of two quick items. As you know, the budget was approved by the Budget Committee on Tuesday. So on Wednesday, we submitted to the Courier for publication of the approved budget. That will be going into the newspaper tomorrow. And so we're scheduling for Wednesday, your next weekly business session, to have the public hearing on the approved budget. And then in the weekly, after the public hearing is held and dismissed, then we'll have the resolution for the adoption of the budget. So that's the time frame for the 16-17 budget.
Great.
Coming up. And then, of course, as far as the adoption, I mean, if the board so chooses, or if based on public comment, whatever, you want to defer that to the next Wednesday or something, you can do that. So it's not a slam dunk necessarily.
I appreciate that we have time.
So, and second to that, then also next Thursday at the admin meeting, I will bring the budget adjustments for the current budget year to the board for your review, and then for moving forward to the Wednesday, June 1 weekly business session. And these are budget adjustments. They're more or less the cleanup of the current year budget. They don't require publication. They don't require a public hearing. They're just, like I said, more budget cleanup.
Reconciling the checkbook.
Basically, yeah, and saying, okay, we're going to move it from personnel to materials or whatever, the budget. They're all under the limits of the publication and the supplemental budget process, but they require a resolution. So I'll bring that to you next week on Thursday. Now, with those two things, I've asked Sandy to give us a two-minute update on our electronic timesheets.
Before we leave the budget, something that came out of there that I think was pretty telling when we were discussing the road dollars and stuff and looking at the ending fund balances and the reserves, I'm really concerned about Public Works being able to maintain this level. And I think I'm okay with passing the budget where it is right now with that, but looking at what kind of reductions are we going to anticipate and that in the subsequent years as a result of no longer receiving these road dollars, unexpected. One of the things I'm feeling is this road infrastructure is coming, there's a cumulative effect feeling these culverts failing at this thing. Mm-hmm. We're having more and more of these things happening right now, and I don't know if there's any way to anticipate what that's going to look like, but it's really easy to have, you know, this start to build to a head, and I think we need to try to double down and be maybe a little bit more more conservative with our reserves and looking at our expenditures in Public Works specifically with being able to, I don't want to experience anything. If that road ones has got to stay really, really steady and work. It's more fragile than I think I even understood before. If you look at those on reserves and the trajectory, it's not good at all.
And that was the point of combining those ending fund balances and putting them on the graph, is so that we don't see that, you know, maybe reserves has gone up, but that means that Public Works operations has gone down. So when you combine the two, you can see that overall we're going down.
I've seen that picture before.
Yeah. And it's going to be a challenge because if we do end up not receiving SRS timber funds, which by all accounts at some point in time that's going to go away, it just seems inevitable, that's over $1 million in Public Works that we're talking about them not having anymore, $1 million of annual revenue, which is about 20% of their current budget. So it's a significant hit. And of course, we will maintain balanced budgets. We will maintain strategically balanced budgets so that we're not spending more than what we're bringing in. And we've been able to do that for the last couple of years. We've moved some funds to reserves, but as you see, we are going to with the Foothill Bridge repaving and several bridges and culverts that have failed and need replacement. We're digging into that.
The time to develop like a 10-year strategy that doesn't include secure rural schools appropriation. So instead of looking at an annual chip seal program of aspiring to 50 miles per year, we don't have that.
Right.
We don't have 25 miles every 2 years. What is that number? What strategically can we look at is saying those roads are going to go back to county non-maintained, they're going to eventually be gravel. We need to divest ourselves so that we can say, yes, we can do 15 miles of roads every year on these revenues minus secure rural schools and be realistic about, you know, maintaining this asset of what we can and cannot do. And I think we may have needed to do that a couple of years ago, but as you said, we've been trying to increase our reserves to anticipate this shortcoming. It's not just for public safety. It's really for Public Works as well.
Yes.
So anyway, we just need to have that discussion because what we're doing, buying down our reserves to maintain our current operations, is not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. If you look at the current year budget, the 16-17 budget, you know, that would reduce... In 2 years, we would be at no reserve whatsoever if we continue that same level. I don't believe that's the plan. I know we've got scheduled for this next coming year a 10-year plan. I talked with the Director of Public Works, Rob Brandis, and we've got a 10-year plan in the works for next year to develop that, which is the
cycle
we're in, that we're in, yes, for with ODOT.
SCIF or whatever, enhanced system transportation infrastructure.
Right, so this is the ideal time. I think it's all coming together at this point, and we'll...
Well, the Federal Highway Trust is passed, so there's only 3 years of appropriation. Everybody keeps saying there's five. There isn't five. There's 3 years of appropriation, a five-year plan. The legislature in the 17th session apparently has a priority of doing a transportation bill. So if 17 is the year that we're looking to try to solidify this plan, I think it should be done in 16, but we really don't know what the state, the gas tax dollars, and any other additional kind of revenues are coming from that. But I guess we could base it based on the knowns that we have now, and they should only improve with the state transportation plan. We've got the federal one. So, yeah, this next year is probably doable, and it'll just, if anything, hopefully it's better than what we plan for the worst. But I think that should be a priority of this board, that we look at solidifying or getting well underway to adopting a plan maybe by the end of this calendar year.
Yeah, not just the transportation plan, too, but I believe we need to expand that to include a look at the structure of the of public works and what they do, how they do it.
Well, we have a performance review in the budget.
In the budget, yes.
Again, that I think that should be incorporated as like an inventory.
Sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Get that baseline. Mm-hmm. Somebody, an outsourced, a third party telling us that this is what we think you guys could do.
Yeah.
And then go forward.
And given the transportation plan, you know, what level of staffing would that require in order to maintain that? So I think it's hand in glove. I think it's coming together, and the timing will work.
Great.
For us. So.
Okay.
Is it part of the other reality consequences?
Yeah.
You know, you can pretend as if there's no big deal, no big problem, and continue to whistle in the dark until you fall in the big chasm. This is just part of the reality of it. It's got to be looked at.
And for all intents and purposes, the county has, prior boards have, this board has, you know, people try to minimize the amount of thought and work that's gone into our budget and where we're at and making plans for the future as if, you know, nobody's done it. But that's not true. In the budget document itself, we list, since 05, all the various things that the boards have done and that the county has done in order to address the shortfall. And I could go into a long diatribe on that, so I won't. But
well, that's the thing. I mean, we have three budget meetings. People come and they hear one little snippet and they think that that's a comprehensive story of the whole decade of public works. But you know what? It takes you 4 or 5 years to really understand. And I will be the first to admit, public works is the one department that I probably don't understand as well as I should. That doesn't mean I don't understand it. It's just there's still a ton to learn about that program and the intricacies of it. So
there's a lot of facets in that
really
one
are.
Program. And then you multiply that by the whole county. Mm-hmm. It's very complicated.
Well, the complexity of three agencies maintaining transportation infrastructure within Josephine County is crazy. City, state, county, it's complex.
Mm-hmm. Throw some feds in there too, and you're.
Oh yeah, right. Federal dollars are nothing to. That's what makes it all possible for food sales of the world to get upgraded.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry for that.
Okay.
But I think that's a.
Mm-hmm. I think we have Sandy up. Don't we have?
Yeah, I was wrong about it.
So I've asked Sandy to give us, she's been coordinating this project for the electronic timesheet implementation, and we're reaching a very significant milestone in that process, so I thought it'd be a good idea to, 2-minute update.
Okay.
Each of the departments are very complex, and so we've been very intentional in taking the board direction of moving into electronic timekeeping and doing it very simple, effective, and suitable to each department. And that started out with conversations with each of the departments. How do you do your timekeeping? Why? What's important to you? Why do you do what you do? And instead of using this, we've always done it this way, we asked a lot of questions.
so that we can meet the needs of the department. Departments have needs like time studies and cost accounting. Will the system do that? How will it do it? PTO requesting up automatically populated in there. So a department head, if they've approved the time off, it automatically goes in there and
it captures it.
There's no, the manager no longer has to double check that's being done, validating starting and end times. Some departments it was very important to, some of them it wasn't, because I can see what time you have.
Or they start at different times, too. I mean, if you're looking at parole probation officers, there's a variety of things that occur in their daily schedule. So.
Yeah. Scheduling and having a calendar where you can see the schedule and automatically doing that, the system will do that. One thing forestry is actually looking forward to is he can tell from home, from a mobile device, that every one of his guys are in out of the field. Mm. Everybody's safe. And using tablets on job locations in real time.
That's huge, you know, that everybody's coming out of the woods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, wait, have you seen Jim?
Yeah.
Not since yesterday.
Yesterday.
No, good thought.
Well, even communications, you know, heading up to the mountain. Yeah. You get a Jeep that breaks down or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, I hope somebody comes up the road soon.
Yep. And so instead of data entering payroll, we're going to be able to spend more of our time actually reviewing and doing analytics over that instead of putting in time cards. And instead of human review of union rules, it's all been set up in Time Clock Plus. We have each union and how they're structured. And then we just add a person to that particular set of union rules. And it looks like it's going to work wonderfully. So everybody's in there. All of the rules are in there. And what we're doing now is we're going to step back and start testing it. And start at the same time we're testing the system, we're training trainers. And so departments have the choice, as always, in this whole process. Departments get to kind of figure out how they want to do it. So they can either come in and have somebody within their department train as a trainer, or we have a group of our implementation team that will all be trained to train. We have this afternoon our first train-the-trainer meeting for admin. Monday we're doing one for managers. Public health and what other department is coming, and the sheriff's department is coming there so that they have their own trainers. And we're ready to move forward. The month of June, we will be testing the system. We're going to run payroll just like we've always run it, but alongside, we're going to be testing the system, and July 1st, we should go live.
Going towards that goal of electronics and technology.
Yes. I mean, one tends to forget about all of the preparation work to make something like that work. You know, July 1st, big deal.
Just do it. Plug it in.
Yeah. Yes.
Do it.
Plug it in.
Yes, all that stuff that has to be done and run and check, double check.
That would have been disastrous.
Yeah.
We would have just started clocking in.
Yeah.
The element of choice providing some sort of so many different options or methods of keeping track that it's not serviceable, sustainable, is it requiring another IT person? I'm not saying
that is a valid question. We've asked that ourselves.
So it's kind of at a point where are we actually saving time because we are just. Maybe we're relegating that to finance, HR, IT to manage this extensive. Or could we have saved a lot of time and energy just saying, we're all going to do it this way that everybody kind of seems, it doesn't work for anybody, but it works for everybody.
It's a good question, but what we're doing is that we're trying to gear the methodology that works best for that particular group or subgroup of people. so that it actually would save time versus everybody do the same thing the same way. So for folks,
seems like that would save you guys time, but it may not save the user time.
Yeah, the end result is going to be that it's fed electronically into the time management system, which will then feed electronically into the payroll system. The methodology of feeding it into the time management system is the choice. Those are the choice. So rather than have perhaps all the road workers going to a kiosk or trying to, you know, file in a single line, our suggestion, although we still need to work through the with the director, is to have the supervisor on a tablet say, Joe's here, Ralph's here, because that's how they work. They work as teams. You're working in this group today, and you're going out here today. So, yes, I've got my team. And so that then is electronically fed into the time management system versus someone who may, where they check into the office, like in finance. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care where you are, you need to be at the office in order to get your work done. So then their methodology is when you hit that computer and the computer boots up, it gives you the login screen that says, yes, I'm here, and then records the time. And so there's a variety of methods to get the information into the time management system, but once you get it in there, then it's processed electronically, processed the same, produces the same file that comes over to the payroll system. Did I get that pretty right? Is there some?
Yes, but taking the time to actually see what the departments need gives them not only electronic time cards to send to us, but it's also giving them valuable information. They can pull reports out of their system for a grant report that says exactly who they have and what projects they were working on. They can do cost accounting with it, and have a level of efficiency.
I think for me, I would like to know those potential audit options or review options, just because, and I'm going to say Parks is probably trying to utilize this information as thoroughly as possible. She seems to be very plugged into that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe somebody else isn't utilizing that, and I'd like to see, you know, everybody take an active role in trying to improve their processes. And for me, I'm going to want to see the similar kinds of reports that Parks pulls potentially apply to a lot of different departments. And mm-hmm. October is the time frame, giving it 3 months of activity and just kind of review. I think that could be very telling about how this system is being utilized, giving it 3 months, 90 days time. And that could be really, really, really great for outlining points of improvement or areas where people are doing phenomenally well.
The thing I think has been put to bed, so to speak, too, is any kind of a change is always like, and the anticipated concept of having y'all come in with a cookie cutter situation, saying this is what it's going to be, this is what we're changing it now, this is what you're going to have to do, all this other stuff, and how are you dealing with this, and how can this better mesh with you? I think that does alleviate a lot of that angst.
Well, and some people, I mean, for example, some people have to check in the morning, check out at night.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are out in the field. You've got the building inspectors, electrical inspectors, and so on and so forth. They're out there, you know, doing their inspections, and they may be working till 5:30, 6:30, you know, trying to get something done.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're done, no, they're not going to come, if they're doing an inspection out in the field, they're not going to come all the way back to the office in order to check out and just to. So there's, we need to be flexible on that to allow for the reality of what your job is. Again, I can use, you know, my staff as an example. We check in the morning, we check out at night. I mean, that's a pretty standard thing. And so, yeah, I want you to do that on your computer, in the morning, in the evening, when you leave, check. But some of the folks are not that, parole, probation. You know, they're out in the field. They're visiting the...
And working 24 hours a day.
Clever.
Yeah, just check in once and you're done.
Right.
Forever.
So, needed their attention.
You know, so there's a variety of things that occur, and so we'll try to be flexible, but I think you're right. There needs to be a minimum level of accountability that every department gets up to so that we're not underutilizing the system we're providing and or not allowing a department to say, no, we don't want to take the time or whatever.
So it's the balance between, I really appreciate Commissioner Heck's perspective on this one because he is, it's different than mine. Mine is a, this is what we're going to do and most times. Because I do know that change is so hard, but the benefits, once you just grab it and do it, but the buy-in in that 90-day review is going to be so much more positive under his perspective, so I appreciate that, than mine, and I understand that. So champion of this is good.
Yeah, not good.
Okay. Balance, this is why we're all on this board together.
So. It doesn't work good. It doesn't work good.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
very good.
Thanks. Is there supposed to be a policy review update at some point before July? You would like me to not remember
these. I think you'd be ignoring me. Yes, I will bring something to you.
If you need any help on that, I'd be happy to pitch in.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Moving on. Appreciate that update. Board business.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we have a final plat map of the Savage Street subdivision off of 10th Street. And so don't we just need to sign this? It's already...
Just make a motion.
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'd make a motion for approval of final plat map of Savage Street subdivision off 10th Street, County... That's it. Who's going to read the next one?
I need a second.
I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. This is something that is more or less a formality, but
it is.
Any question?
It's odd that it's a subdivision deals like in the city limits.
Well,
no.
Savage Street. Okay. Savage goes either way; it goes out of the city.
Okay, but 10th.
10th, right up there at the end of 10th. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. That's in the county, right?
Although I think it was on that election to be annexed, wasn't it?
I didn't know that's right.
Anyway, it's still ours. It's still county at this point in time. Yeah, every time you're going down that residential street, it's
like isn't that funny?
Entering the city limits. It's like, gee, I thought I was in it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so, yeah. Okay. I think that was part of the annexation. I'm not sure. Okay, roll call.
Oh. Yes. I've been asked to be roll call, so this is just a voice vote, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
All in favor? Any opposed?
None.
Come on, let's do this real formally. Okay, motion carries.
Thank you.
We will sign it. We have the appropriate pen here to do that. Item 5B, order number 2016-017, the matter of appointing the community development director to serve as the county planning director. How this arose was that we changed the description of our position here in Josephine County. However, all of the state statutes and ORSs and the rules refer to the planning director's authorities. So we have to change ours and authorize our community development director to be able to sign as the planning director because they are the planning director. So anyway, that's what that's for. Okay? Okay, so shall we move that forward to Wednesday?
And speaking of that position, have we heard any communication from our new...
Starts June 1st.
Yeah, but I mean, have we heard anything about her, how she's doing? What's
no,
happening?
I asked JJ, what day was it I got back? A week ago today, or whatever it was that I got back. I asked him if there was any news, and he said, nope, still on time to be here June 1st.
So June 1st come around and nobody shows up.
No, I think she's excited about it actually. So, but I will follow up again on that. So we can just move this forward to the consent calendar. 5C, distribution of marijuana tax revenue. Did you want to talk about that at all?
I think we were waiting for lipstick, right?
Yeah, I think we were. So did you?
Yeah, some of the percentages. I will remind them. It was brought up at the last meeting, but.
So that's why I was waiting to hear about it.
Yeah, what did they say, or did they say, or?
They have not said.
They have not said, okay.
Because I sent them wanting to come up with a, instead of having to do this every time money's come in.
Right, we want to set
up a percentage, and you know what? How do we want this? How do you feel?
It's not a lot of money to begin with.
No.
Still estimated at less than $100,000, right?
Right, and that's optimistic.
And that's optimistic, yeah. I think it'll probably settle out over time and not be quite so much.
Well, the formula is going to change here.
Yeah, the formula will change.
Go down anyway.
Yeah.
Of 2017.
Oh, is it June 17th?
Yeah, for the first year and a half for this year and half the next year, it's based on population, and then
goes to number of dispensaries.
Then it goes to dispensaries.
Okay.
The other option you might consider that is just depositing the whole thing to the public safety fund. If it's $80,000 or $50,000 or whatever it ends up being. Put it in public safety, it'll get allocated according to the way we allocate among the sheriff, DA, and doesn't give anything necessarily to public health, and I think that's probably where the
I think that was the question, because I think that there's going to be some, in fact, there already are some issues in regards to public health, because some of that's Oregon Health Authority, and I think there's already going to be some issues in that regard.
Well, that is definitely true. But frankly, if you look at the formula distribution and we're getting 1% of the proposed revenues, very similar to the lottery funds, is that really our responsibility to be allocating our 1% to that issue as opposed to the 40% that's going to the common school fund and taking a portion of that already dedicated to schools to educating mm-hmm. the youth of this issue? That's where I would see, you know.
No, it's not educating that I'm concerned about. What I'm concerned about is the drug addictions where you get people coming up there with health issues because they don't have a care provider. Because we already do. We have people coming in and they have communicable diseases that are as a result of poor health. And so it's an overall type of thing. So anyway, we want to wait and hear what Lipstick has to say on that. Okay. 5D, House Bill 3400, the 3-cent tax. I've talked to Wally about this several times, and in discussing it, we didn't want to start addressing the issue of the 3% tax. The only time we can put that on the ballot is in November, and we're going to have to get around and get that decision made because I think it has to be done sometime in August. Mm-hmm. But don't know the date, but I think it's August, later August. And so the 3% tax, again, it's not going to be a lot of money because it's going to be based on, again, where it's sold outlets. We don't have but one retail outlet that's been approved and it's not even open yet. But still, we need to have this in place. Mm-hmm. And my suggestion to Wally was, because they have to report to the state, they have a form, they usually do it online, a form that they report to the state, just use the same state form to report to us. So as to not create, so when they report to the state, I think it's quarterly, they report to us quarterly, same form. Mm-hmm. And that way they don't have to have a burden of filling out additional county forms at a different date and time. So I think if we can kind of just parallel with that. But I think I'm going to have Wally check into also is that if we had a marijuana registry, like a business registry, that went along with this when we put it on the ballot, where that anybody that is raising or processing or marketing, you know, any of the marijuana levels that they define in the statute, that they would register with our planning department. And, of course, there would have to be a fee for that. But register with the planning department. And that way, when we're talking about an industry and how that industry impacts our county, we can, they're a resource for us to be able to say, this industry is, you know, beneficial to our county in such and such a way, because we'll actually have access to who's in the business, you know, so that they can help us either promote it or develop the industry, as people are saying we ought to. But we can't develop an industry if we don't know anything about it. You know, we can't develop an industry if we don't know how many people are in it. We don't know anything about the employment statistics. You know, how is it benefiting our county as far as employment? I happen to think that there's quite a bit of employment in that industry right now. But we don't know.
And so if we had some kind of a registry through planning, they have to go through planning anyway to get their paperwork done for the state. So that would be very helpful for us to be able to say, yeah, it's producing, you know, $500,000 a year, or it's producing, you know, 47 jobs or whatever. That way we would know, because we could go to those business owners and say, could you tell us about what is your impact on our community? So
yeah, this also identifies the need that we are all communicating with one another. Mm-hmm. That the organizations, the Oregon, what's it, that I can't remember the name of it, I'll remember Pete again. The Sun Growers Association.
Right.
That they are part of this process, that they understand, that they can communicate and make everybody understand what is the desire is. Mm-hmm. It's not to discover them, to put them out of business or whatever.
No, it's not so what it's for. You know, but it's so that we can help the industry, because how can we, you know, if we see that there is an opportunity here for us to promote our county in some way, as far as the industry is concerned, because we don't want to lose an advantage that we might have, because we're the second largest growing county in the state outside of the indoor grows, but we are the largest outdoor growing county in the state. Mm-hmm. And if we want to assist them in the industry, we have to know what we're talking about. You know, we can't say, well, we think we have, you know, 147 jobs, but we don't know. You know, that's never going to be helpful to the industry. And I've talked to some of the people from the Sun Growers Guild, and they're kind of coming around in regards to the fact that Josephine County is not trying to shut them down. Mm-hmm. Initially, that was their opinion, yeah. But I think they've come around to that. That's not what we're trying to do.
By Mark Sullivan.
I know, and I think that they've kind of gotten past that to realize that.
Well, go find another county in the state that's more responsible, being supportive of this issue, and good luck.
Yeah, because we're probably one that has. We certainly have not put any obstacles in their way.
No,
we tried to facilitate the industry. We're trying to change planning rules to facilitate it. You know, that's all. You know, it's one of those things that whether you like the industry or don't like the industry, it's already been here for 50 years. And now that it's being legitimized, we need to work with the industry. Mm-hmm. And I think this would give us the ability to help them to promote themselves. And I know I talked to one of them the other day, and I said, you know, have you all formed, I know you have a Sun Growers Guild, but have you actually formed a cooperative to start building facilities? Or, you know, that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about, that maybe we could help you with it, with your marketing, with your processing. We could help with that if you would help, you know, let us help you, in other words. So I think that would be a beneficial type of thing for the industry. And I'm not talking about any of it being restrictive. It's an ability for us to help them. And we can't help them if we don't know who they are, where they are, what they're doing.
That, you know, hi, I'm the government, and I'm here to help you. And you go, yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing is like they have the hearings all the time. That, you know, I see all the hearings going on at the state in regards to rules and regulations. And we go up there and say, well, you know, our county is, you know, the second highest producer in volume. We're the largest producer of outdoor. And they'll say, well, how many jobs? It's like, don't know how many jobs. Don't know the volume, really, other than the gross volume reported to the state.
Yes.
So I just think it would be something we need to consider putting in with that. And again, it's not meant to be anything other than how can we help the industry if we don't have data.
Mm-hmm.
And they can provide us that data. So, okay.
Good.
All right, moving on. Any other matters from commissioners?
It's probably under liaison updates, but I'm interested in how the industrial amendment to the code is coming, that process. When is it going to be before the Rural Planning Commission? Then it needs to come to us. I think there's a need.
I think there was a workshop last week. There was a workshop on that last week. And
just that we could have, like, regular updates on that.
Yeah, there was a workshop last week, which I could not attend, last Monday. And I think it's... Do you know when it is, Terry, in the calendar as far as the hearing?
It would be great to have...
Hearing?
I thought there was a Planning Commission hearing on that topic.
I think I would really like to have James come in periodically and provide an update on the progress and the schedule and the timing. The other thing is I think there may be a need to explore on a parallel track. I've heard from a lot of people, even several growers, on the medical side of things, they would be fine with some sort of a residential setback requirement from property lines from people who have challenges, just something to explore. That's, for me, the only thing that I can think of that would help the industry improve their PR. That the state law requires fences, but it really doesn't do anything for smells or other things. And we do have setback requirements in the code for other things, and I think we could find a match that would really, that would not inhibit people's ability to grow, but just to help them cite the location for where they have plants, it could be really helpful. So, and I think we'd want to limit that to either the size of a property, maybe not. I don't know. You know, I would probably start very, very broad, like we did with the industrial nursery element, starting broad, not just restricting it to indoor.
I can't find the date.
June 6th.
Thank you.
Great.
I knew it was coming up.
So maybe after June 6th.
June 6th. Thank you. Planning Commission hearing. Request for comprehensive plan text amendment. That is the industrial zone issue. And that is on June 6th.
But just to
explore. And I plan to attend that.
Something around the residential outdoor. Something, a text amendment to the code to explore, like a setback or something. On small residential, so it's not right on. I mean, we do this for everything. There's a setback requirement for all buildings at 10 feet. But I think that there are some situations where it's like, so there's 10 feet somebody else's house, their deck, and then right on the line is where
right.
They've done the grow. But they've got, you know, an acre or two. They could have put it
right.
Maybe somewhere better.
Mm-hmm. Better for food.
Better for neighborly relations.
Probably that's a name.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's one of those things to consider.
Yeah.
Just a thought. You're never going to solve everybody's problems.
No, we're not going to solve all the problems. And when the odor is put off, you can smell it.
Maybe there's no
long ways. There's no. I mean, that isn't just like when anything else pollinates very heavily. Condensed pollination, regardless of what it might be, you can smell it from miles.
I don't think it even needs to be at the pollination stage for it to smell.
Well, it doesn't have to be, but that's when it starts. When it starts putting off the resin, and so it starts the pollination, and the resin starts becoming very active.
The other one is I got an update from Public Works. I had mentioned the Azalea Road. Just that we're following the weekly business session and texting and emailing as it's going on. They're looking at doing a significant upgrade to that intersection in conjunction with ODOT.
Azalea and which in Azalea and?
And Robert.
Robert oh, Robert's Bridge.
That intersection. It looks like it's going to be a significant, a flashing beacon, some better markings on both streets and the pavement, additional signs of complex intersection or whatever they want to say. So it's.
Excuse me, is that county doing that or state?
State is paying for the majority of it. Our contribution to it is $13,000. It's a 7.78% match, and the total project is estimated around right around $160,000 to $170,000.
That's good. So when is that going to
go a long way to alleviating? I don't have a time frame, but I bet it's within this next year.
Is it? They're not talking about realigning that.
No,
the roads. They're talking about putting lights up.
Yeah, just literally highlighting the complexity of that intersection to reduce the speed. I think people just go through there like it's no big deal. The rest of the road. It's really you need to be more conscious of that intersection. So something that was the number one that frankly was kind of probably a pre-established thing before the economic development. Task force, the visioning and the plan was even determined was that there needs to be a county economic development committee. That was the number one pre-draft kind of thing. My thought was that I don't think that's a controversial thing. I think it's kind of like a duh you know, that you'd have, you know, you're still ready in SBDC, and they do talk, but sometimes they have a conversation, much like everybody, and they don't talk to the chamber, or they didn't talk to this group, you know, the viticulture industry. So I think it would behoove the county to, and the county is probably the one to orchestrate that in conjunction with the city. I started a list, it's not comprehensive, it's just a place to start, of those potential obvious ones that should be at the table. I just wanted to make the suggestion that I don't think we need to wait for the report to be finalized and adopted by the city or the county. This is kind of a no-brainer that we should potentially establish that so they have an opportunity to review that final draft. It should dovetail with hiring this community planning, you know, but we will make the determination of who's on that and working in conjunction. I mentioned this to Aaron, and I told him, I said, I really want, you know, Commissioner Walker to lead this charge, but I don't think we have to wait. And to have that, we can even make the appointments, and it's not necessarily people. I think it's organizations, so that we're not...
We need to make a list of organizations.
Yes.
Which... I also have done that.
We've all kind of got
a list of organizations that have a stake in the economy.
Yeah.
Like you say, the viticulture industry and the various...
I'd be happy to forward my list as a very, very draft. But to look at having that, that the appointments are made by the end of somewhere...
It'll end somewhere, right.
Somewhere. You know, a week or two after our community... development planning director comes on board, she knows that mid-June, this board is going to convene, and, you know, there's 15 people on it or whatever, that's all kind of in cycle, mm-hmm. to receive the draft. And so just as a
right.
Thought.
I think we have a teleconference today. Let me look.
I think that's something if you were interested
yes.
in taking
it. We have a teleconference today. I have one with Alexandra Reese at 2, and then there's a phone conference with all of us at 2:30. So I will mention that, and I can work with Susan and David on that.
Great.
Yeah, and again, I realize that the new community development planning has not yet come on board.
Right.
She needs to understand that, whether it's communication or phone call or whatever, that this is underway and this is all being done
right.
to facilitate her
right.
being able to do mm-hmm. even a better job than what
yep.
we've done.
Well, when I met with her, it's been about a month since I met with her, and I told her that, you know, she's not walking into a situation that is well developed as far as the position, because it's a new position,
mm-hmm.
and that there has been a lot of changes and shifts in the policy in regards to economic development with this board, and that we have not been a board of business as usual. We've been a board of trying to move forward, and so consequently she's going to be charged with putting things together and implementing things that we have been thinking about for a while, or doing or planning, and there's going to be some bugs in it for her
mm.
because this is something we've been trying to get accomplished but has not been accomplished as yet, and some of the things that we've put in place are working very well,
mm-hmm.
but there's going to be some new things, and she knows that,
yeah.
and she's up to the challenge, you know, she thinks that's going to be good.
I don't think this list is ever going to be final.
Mm-mm.
It's going to change over time.
It will.
But there are people that are... Those are the people that need to be at the table. And
mm-hmm.
I think we can pick those people and just get them organized.
Right.
So that she's going to have to start a lot of stuff from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't need to start this from scratch.
Right.
We can do this. We make
right.
the appointment and go from there. And so anyway, that was just one that jumped out at me off of the...
Yeah, you can send me that list.
Yeah, okay, great.
Just get that list to me. I think that's... That's why we hired her, and I think she knows that's why we
mm-hmm.
hired her, is because she thinks more progressive. She's outside the box. She's, you know, knowing that we need to move the county forward, that we're not averse to making changes or, you know, incorporating new ideas. So we hired her for that reason. That's what we look for in someone, because
mm-hmm.
this is a new position.
Yeah.
So I think she'll do that fine.
The other thing that's kind of unofficial that I think we've talked about is improving our PR element. I think that the things that we're doing in forestry with the budget committee, we're interested in hearing maybe the positive things in parks. There's a lot of positive things that are going on that never make it outside of this room. Figuring out what's the best way to do that. One of the things I was thinking about with a candidate who didn't make it into the general but has a background in PR, the idea of a PR committee, and it'd be made up of both private sector. What are you guys hearing? I don't want to just answer questions that I want to answer. I want to answer questions that the public is looking for. And so having that established would, I think, really, really help us. And the time probably to do that is, I have a short list of, this is more people on the outside and personnel on the inside. I don't think it has to be in any official capacity, but I didn't want to, strike out on this without at least, letting you guys know that everything would have to come back to the board for, no, we're not interested in doing that, or why don't you think about doing it this way? But somebody has to take the charge and just say, here's some ideas. This is how we ramp up our website to better capture what we're doing. It kind of goes hand in hand with the person that we hope to put in this office, with maybe doing a little bit of that PR facilitation of the board, the county, and I could see that person kind of being the point staff person to help organize these things to keep it on track. Because we've made attempts, as a lot of boards have, and they don't necessarily get followed through with because somebody isn't holding on to it. So I would be happy to start it, and I don't have to keep it, just something to get it kind of rolling, establish kind of a process.
And this is basically a voluntary.
Totally. I can see that there are staff that has already said, I'd love to help.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got a story to tell. Maybe we don't have to talk about parks every week, but they're interested in getting a positive message out, and you just, but it wouldn't be necessarily limited that, Community Corrections has great things that are going on, or whoever. We wouldn't leave anybody out just because you're not 4 or 5 in the room.
A subset of this, not directly. Have we issued any kind of a letter of appreciation to the chamber for their insertion in every monthly?
I've talked to her. I've not sent her
but
a letter.
But I think it would be good.
I have vocalized that to her. And they've done an outstanding job. They've done 3 so far. And they've done an outstanding job on them. But I have talked to her.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Do you want a thank you card?
Yeah, that would be
nice.
That would be a logical partner, I would say.
Sure.
For sure. And there's a handful of others that I think are interested in that. So I don't think we can, I want to move forward on that. Okay.
And to include the IV area, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because they have the chamber down there, too.
Yep.
Well, there have been some huge strides made down there by the citizens and the community. So,
okay,
that it for you?
Yeah.
How about you, Commissioner Heck?
I'm fine.
Nothing? Okay. I was trying to think if I had something to do, update, other than, yes, I will be attending that meeting on the 6th, the planning. And I will be talking to Wally again on the marijuana tax situation.
So to address that, I'm in favor of it. Let's start drafting it. I don't need to be sold on the idea. We've got an election question that says that the people want to vote on this. So from my perspective, the next thing I need to talk about is what does a draft language look like for the question. And I don't think there's any negative to starting early, having it done. So we're not behind the 8-ball.
Right, because I think the deadline is August. It's already May, so we need to have the text, and we can.
Yeah, very simple. Yeah. Either goes or doesn't.
Okay. All right, I will do that.
Great.
Nothing else? We will get this out here so it can be signed. How many places are there on there to sign?
17.
2 for each of you.
2 for each of us.
Oh, that's sweet.
Okay. All right, very good. Okay, it is 10:43, and we are adjourned.